listen.
My life.
In every verse, I got rhymes.
What's up, what's up? It's your boy AT and your boy AE coming to you live and direct with another episode of Bars, Rhymes, and Life, where we break down the bars, relate to the rhymes, so we can shed light on our lives.
Just listen.
Feel the beat drop. In the battle for rounds.
Yeah. Let's take them back.
What's up, it's your boy AT coming to you live and direct with another episode of Bars, Rhymes, and Life. This week's track, Hate It or Love It by none other, The Game, featuring 50 Cent. Why the track this week? You guys know why the track this week. Today, or tonight, let's say, is New Year's Eve. I am here recording on New Year's Eve, and, you know, it's a big, big, big night slash evening because I'm really, really up for 2024. It's not to say I wasn't up for 2023, but, you know, sometimes you're fighting against forces that neither you can see or neither you can do anything about. I think it's stupid to try and tell yourself something's great when it isn't. And 2023 has been a shit year. It's not been a great year, but hate it or love it, the underdogs are on top, and I'm going to shine until my heart tell me to stop. I can't think of a better track to start 2024 on. I can't think. So last year, I think my track for the year was Royce da 5'9", Boom, which had a mad energy about it, such a sick production by Primo, and you might say like I asked for it because 2023 went boom. But in a bad way, not in a good way. So this is going to be my track for 2024. This is the track that when I want to hold myself accountable, this has to be the track. Hate it or love it. It's going to be a good year. I'm trying to do everything in my power to make it a year of productivity, help myself deliver on the goals that I want to deliver on. And this tune's been set up. I had this tune set up about a month ago where I was like, this is going to be the tune that I do on New Year's Eve because it's an incredible track. Before we get into the bars, have to call out Kool & Dre's production on this. Unbelievable production. The sample, the beat. I've always had an idea that this tune was sampled, but I never actually knew what the sample was or who the sample was by. But it's by a group called The Tramps, and they were like one of the first disco groups to ever exist. They did that tune, Burn Baby Burn, Disco Inferno, Burn Baby Burn. They made that track, but look what Kool & Dre did to the song that they did, to the song that they sampled for this track. The track is called Rubber Band. Amazing, right? Amazing to be able to pick that out because that part is at like 2 minutes and 4 seconds in the track and to be able to just work that magic and get 50 and The Game flowing on this. And it's a banger, isn't it? This is a tune. I don't care if you're underground, conscious, mainstream, casual, you could put this tune and all sets of fans are going to bump their head to it. Facts. Don't even act like you wouldn't. Anyone that's pretending that you wouldn't, you're lying. You're lying. I can't wait to get started. Let's get in. Coming up, I was confused, my mama kissing the girl. Confusion occurs coming up in the cold world. Daddy ain't around, probably out committing felonies. My favorite rapper used to sing, check out my melody.
Coming up, I was confused, my mommy kissing the girl. Confusion occurs coming up in the cold world. Daddy ain't around, probably out committing felonies. My favorite rapper used to sing, check out my melody.
The first line, coming up I was confused, my mama kissing a girl. or my mommy kissing a girl. Is this potentially the most vulnerable line 50's ever delivered? Out of his mainstream catalogue, is this the most vulnerable line that he's ever delivered? I like to think that it is. And I think this is one incredible opening line. A lot of people probably might not give it the due or the attention that it deserves. But the reason why it's such an incredible line, because I think it sets the tone for the rest of the song and anyone who listens to it. Because this potentially is the most vulnerable line 50's ever delivered. And if you don't know the story, 50's mentioned in a few interviews that his mother might have been like bisexual or gay. He doesn't really know, and that she was a part-time prostitute. So he wasn't sure whether he was with the girl because of business or because out of choice. But it's such a raw thing to say. It's so raw, it's so vulnerable, that it sets it up that actually respect to anyone and everyone. That's what this tune does. This tune sets it up for the underdog, because it just leans into the fact that 50 went through some fucking shit in his childhood. Like a lot of these artists, not all of them, but a lot of them. And it weren't just like, oh, the childhood was tough. It was like adolescence was tough as well. You don't get shot 9 times and think that it's a breeze, yeah? A lot of people won't know about Chris Lighty. If you have time, you want to check him out, because he did a lot for 50's career as well. And, you know, to summarize a really long, interesting, and terrible and sad tale, come to the point where I think Chris Lighty potentially, because it's not really known, it's foreseen that he committed suicide, but there's a lot to say that he might not have, but it's complete digression there. The reason why I want to say, hey, this is big from 50, is because it's the fact that, you know, all G's, all gangsters, all anyone that's like got that essence about them, I feel like you respect them even more when they're able to just be open about shit like this. And also the delivery. He's just sort of calling it how it is. He ain't like, oh, I feel sorry for me. He's just like telling it how it is. I think it's an incredible opening line. And it just catches the beat so well. And it leads so well into the next line, which is confusion occurs coming up in the cold world. And it's so true. It's so interesting that growing up for anyone is a very confusing time. For every child, they have to learn and develop so many things, and they have to pick up things that what's good and what's bad, and is lying good, is lying not good? Well, it seems like it is, or seems like it isn't. You find, and it's really, really, this is such an interesting dichotomy and a really oxymoronic thing in some respects, that kids in lower income areas are exposed to more realities at a younger age, which obviously can lead to more confusion, because when you're living in a bit of poverty, or even if you think about the 50's come up, like because of the hardship that his mum was facing, because she was a single mum, she had to do something like that to keep the lights on, to keep the heating on and stuff. And he's being exposed to that. Being exposed to that as a child is confusing. Is that right? Is that wrong? It's hard, right? Yet suburban parents are like a bit more, you know, wealthy, or you want to say middle, upper class, they prevent their kids from growing up too fast. But parents from ghettos and hoods don't have that luxury of hiding things from their kids. Like, everything usually is out in the open. But I feel like when we did Super Rich Kids, because I'm certain we did Super Rich Kids, it kind of like fails you the other way if you try and protect your kids too much. If you mollycoddle them from the realities and the harsh realities of life, then actually when they hit some sort of resistance, because you can't, you know, let's take me for example, 2023 hit me. Now, if I hadn't had some hardships in my life, if I hadn't had some confusion, if I hadn't had some heartbreak, I could have been completely on the downer. I could be anxious, depressed, blah, blah, you name it. I want to think and say to myself, I think I experienced those things over the last year. I think I went through phases of this stuff, because it's been a tough year. And yet my childhood experiences, my adolescent experiences will have helped me get through this quote unquote cold world. Now, if I didn't have none of that, then maybe 2023 would have been the year that breaks me. Maybe I would just be like, no podcast, no nothing. I can't be bothered to do anything anymore. I just want to stare at the ceiling or stare at the sky. So it's such an interesting line because I keep thinking about my kids and I keep comparing myself to loads of other kids because I just think bear kids are bare fucking spoiled and bear kids are bare naughty. And I know it's probably going to be like, you know, famous last words that like when I have children, that I'll probably spoil them just the same as like everyone else's. But I genuinely believe I ain't going to do it. I can't accept having spoiled kids. I just think I can't have my kid act naughty in, you know, once they're at an appropriate age. I'm not sort of like saying like two, I'm saying when they're at five onwards, I can't have them at like public events, which I was one at. I was at one on Friday and the kids are so bad. I'm like, what the fuck? And the parents are like kind of shrugging their shoulders and shit. And I'm like, how the fuck are you letting your kid behave like that? It's weird and I won't let it happen. But in order for it to not happen, I have to show that kid some harsh realities of like really, really interesting. Incredible first two lines. Daddy ain't around, probably commit felonies. Yeah, you know, it's not easy being a single parent. Shout out to all the single parents out there. I think, you know, single dad, single mum, just shout out to everything that you did. You deserve it to the fullest. And know, as long as you know that you've done your best, that's all you can do. And in a really interesting way, 50 is an example of showing you that if your kid doesn't quite show you the respect that you deserve, or the kid doesn't quite turn out the way you wanted it to be, as long as you did your best, that's all you can do. It's on that child. It's on that child. Because look what 50 turned out. Look how 50 turned out. You find out about how 50 speaks about his mother and his grandmother, and you'll know. You'll know this guy is a gangster. Straight up G. And now a multi-millionaire, potentially billionaire mogul. But you ask about, you check how he speaks about his mum and his grandmother and you'll recognize. So don't put that shit on you if you're a single parent out there and your kid doesn't give you the respect that you deserve, because it's on the kid. It ain't nothing that you done. Facts. My favorite rapper used to sing Check Check Out My Melody. Eric B, Rakim. Rakim was different, man. Paid in Full is just an unbelievable track. That bass line might be the best bass line of all time. And I rate 50 for having, a favorite rapper like that. Facts. Tossed and turned in my sleep that night. Woke up the next morning. N-words had stole my bike. Different day, same shit. Ain't nothing good in the hood. I'd run away from this bitch and never come back if I could.
Tossed and turned in my sleep that night. Woke up the next morning, niggas have stole my bike. Different day, same shit, ain't nothing good in the hood. I run away from this bitch and never come back if I could.
It is a really interesting set of lines for me because it reminds me of something that I did when I was a teenager. So me and my brother used to go on like a lot of bike rides when we were younger. And I can't understand why I'm not certain the whole pretext or context behind it. But I feel like I took my little brother's bike one a day for some reason. I'm not certain as to why. And for whatever reason, because at the end of the day, or when you came back home, you'd put the bike next to your house and then you'd have to go into your house, open the garden door to bring the bike through into the garden, right? I forgot and I left it in the alleyway, or I left it in the gap between both the two houses. And that bike got nicked. And I remember thinking, shit. But on top of it, I remember my brother never forgiving me. Never, ever forgiving me for it. That bike was such a sick bike. It was a Trek bike. And it had red paint. And it had like some sort of a lion logo on it. And we affiliated it a bit with the Lion King because we loved the Lion King back then. And it was just such a hard bike. That bike was so hard. And I massively feel guilty for it. Like, I do feel guilty for it. But at the same time, I was like, I don't know what else. I just forgot. It was just a mistake. I didn't mean it on purpose. But, you know, I don't think my brother's ever forgiven me for losing, like, getting his bike stolen, because it definitely got stolen. And going back to that thing, because like we woke up the next morning and realized that the bike was missing. There's no worse feeling when someone steals your bike. I actually think I've had like people try to nick my phone off me a couple of times, and I've had like people try to nick a chain off me once, and I don't really care so much. But when you lose a bike, you know, when someone goes, give me your bike, I guess it's like getting your car nicked. It's just you can't get away with getting your car nicked, because usually the police can track the plates and stuff, right? But when you lose your bike, it was like maybe you were cycling somewhere at like 15 miles per hour and now you got to walk. And now you got to like accept that someone's just juked your bike up. It's one of the worst feelings. It really is. And it just reminded me of that memory. And I apologize for the millionth time. I'm sorry for losing that bike, bro. Didn't mean to. Just bad luck, I guess. Bad luck. Different day, same shit. Ain't nothing good in the hood. I'd run away from this bitch and never come back if I could. So honest from 50 Hair. Because you know what? It's so interesting. Again, the dichotomy between you're trying to lyrically bar yourself out so you can get yourself out of the hood, because that life is dangerous, that life is not fun, and that life is tough. But then when you kind of make it, in order to keep yourself afloat, some people do this, I'm not saying all rappers do this, but there's that thing where you now have to now shout out and cuss on other people's street cred, or, you know, their affiliations with the ends that they're from, because you think that they're not ghetto enough. Like, you have to validate your ghetto-ness. And it's like, the reason you want to get out is also the reason why you start using, or the reason you start using to keep yourself out. It's very, very interesting when you think about it. And I just think it's honest, because a lot of, you know, a lot of people, a lot of quote unquote persona rappers will be like, yeah, you're not hood. I can go to the hood. I love it in the hood. Street talk, you're not gangster, all that stuff. And you're saying all those things, but then if you are all those things, why didn't you just shut the fuck up and stay there? The only person that I would never dare say something like that to, I'm sure there's other ones, I'd never dare say that to Benny the Butcher, and I'd never dare say that to Pusha. And I'm sure there's loads of others that I've missed, but that's what I'm trying to say, is there's some that you just, if you know, you know, and you're never really going to question, or, you know, you're never really going to question it. But there's a lot out there that will be like, yeah, no, I'm hood, I'm gangster, I'm G. And then I'm like, okay, if that's the case, why are you here? Why are you here? And 50's just being real with it. 50's like, the hood ain't fun. None of this shit is fun at all. I want to get out of here and I never want to come back. There's one other thing that I think is really, really important that I want to mention, yeah? And I think 50 does not get any credit for this. I don't think anyone's credited him for this, yeah? That throughout his catalogue, musically, he's got so much better. And the reason why I say this is because if you compare him to The Game, right? So the point I'm trying to make is, let's say an artist like The Weeknd. One of the reasons why Weeknd's so amazing is, yes, he's so gifted with his artistry and his lyrics and his, you know, his dreams and his thoughts, but also his voice is incredible, right? And an incredible voice can get you very, very far without having to be massively artistic, because you've got so much range to hit. You can hit high notes, you can hit low notes, you can paint such floral tones in so many ways. And if you look at 50 as a rapper, his range is very bassy. I don't want to compare him to Rick Ross, but I'm just trying to say that if you think about Rick Ross and you think about 50, it's not like they go octaves, they don't pitch up very high. It's one of the reasons why Kendrick breaks tone. Kendrick pitches himself really high in order to create what I consider, the only way I can break it down, I don't know if it's true or not, but it's like floral tones and contrasts and colors. It is not easy if you just stay in one key, so to speak. But if you listen to 50's bars in this, and you listen to 50 at this time, he's so musical at this low range. He's almost like a bass guitar, and there's certain words that he pitches up and there's certain words that he pitches down, but he always stays as 50. And I really want to highlight that, because I think he does not get enough credit for how he evolved musically. Like people cussing, or not people cussing, but people will say, oh, you know, he destroyed Jar. He did destroy Jar. And he called Jar out for singing on tracks. But then 50 started singing. But 50's evolution and the way 50 done it, he done it better, because I think he's always been like really astute at learning. And he's always listened to people around him that he fully trusts and he takes on board. And you can see that in the musicality of these bars. And I think it's very important to say, because everyone hypes him for the bangers, of course. Everyone hypes him for how much of a G'd up gangster he was. You never probably want to ever fuck with him in any walk of life. But I don't think he gets enough credit for his musicality, and he deserves that. Absolute facts. 10 G's will take your daughter out of her Air Forces. Believe you me, homie, I know about losses.
10 G's will take your daughter out of Air Forces. Believe you me, homie, I know all about losses.
So I took this straight off Rap Genius. This is reminiscent of an Eminem line. I have the money to have you killed by somebody who has nothing. Being from Compton, the game has experienced crippling losses. He lost two brothers at a young age, which I had no idea about. That's really like a really sad and terrible story to know. This could also have secondary meaning relating to the force of gravity measured in G's, like G-force. And the fact that Air Force pilots must make maneuvers that subject them to high G-forces. So there's a nice cheeky little double entendre there by the game. 10 G's will take your daughter out of the Air Forces. It's almost like 10 G's will get her nabbed or potentially got. But at the same time, you know, that 10 G's will also maneuver you in another way in terms of G-force. The G-force could actually whoosh, take her away or whatever. And you believe you me, homie, I know about losses. And, it, you know, it always hurts me when I hear some of these guys lost people where like a potential parent chooses to not be with you as a kid. That's got its own abandonment kind of hurt associated with it, but it's almost like a choice. It's kind of like the guy chose to do that, the woman chose to do that, and you live with it however you can best live with it. And you know, I'm not saying one's worse than the other, but I just think when you lose someone young, when someone's, you know, died young and you were young, it's like you can't help but think that that is so tragic, and it's such a tragedy that he didn't get to experience those things that we call, he didn't get to experience the thing that we call life with his brothers. It just upsets me for some reason. I'm not quite sure why, but it just genuinely does. I stay strapped like car seats, been banging since my little N-word Rob got killed for his Barclays. That's 10 years. I told Pooh in 95, I'll kill you if you try me for my Air Max 95s.
I stay strapped like car seats, been banging since my little nigga Rob got killed for his Barclays. That's 10 years. I told Pooh in 95, I'll kill you if you try me for my Air Max 95s.
So again, just a nice simple double entendre. I like, you know, stay strapped like car seats, being strapped to the back of the car because they have to legally for, you know, safety reasons or whatever, but staying strapped is also saying I'm strapped, like I'm always carrying heat, I've already got a gun on me, I'll always like papow you if I need to, like I'm always ready for fire. Been banging since my little N-word Rob got killed for his Barclays. And you know what, it's so interesting, yeah, because I'm a massive basketball head. I would say I'm a sneakerhead, like I've got a fair few sneakers that I've never ever worn, don't think I'll ever wear, but I wouldn't say I'm like a huge collector or anything. But being a huge NBA fan, I grew up with NBA on TNT, and I didn't know ball when I was super, super young. Like I didn't know ball even when I started playing basketball in year eight. I kind of picked it up as I went along through the years, and I started paying real attention to it when first year sixth form, second year sixth form. That's, I honestly believe I was the first person in the UK to watch NBA on TNT. I don't think anyone in the UK was watching it apart from me and my little brother. That's the genuine truth. And you could watch it online off the website directly, the full episodes. Now they don't let you watch the full episodes anymore. Now they kind of cut it unless you've like bought TNT Sports. But because of Barkley being such a joker and he's so hilarious, and you know, that show's been going on for time and he's been hilarious since days, I can't imagine now someone saying, I got a pair of Charles Barkleys. So imagine getting like killed for a pair of Charles Barkley's. Obviously, he's a Hall of Famer. He's a sick basketball player. I've checked up on his career afterwards, and I know how like good a player he was and how much of a character he was too. So I'm not shooting it down. It's just that because he's such a comedian now, it's hard to believe someone got jacked for their Barclays. It's easy to believe someone got jacked for their Jordans. It's easy to believe that someone got killed for their LeBrons or their Kobe's, but not the Barclays. Not the Barclays. And I don't want to make light of the situation. It just makes me laugh. That's all I'm saying. And then following from that, that's 10 years. I told Pooh in 95, I'll kill you if you try me for my Air Max 95s. Now, I didn't know this. This is something that's really, really interesting because I've got a pair of Air Max 95s. I think they're amazing. Yeah, I do love that sneaker. The silhouette is sick. All the colorways. I've got a really unique pair where it's all black, but it's got a black mesh over the 95s. And in sort of UV light or in a certain type of lighting, underneath it comes through this sort of leopard white lightning type effect. It's really, really sick. Like, I love those 95s. They're amazing. But what I did not know is that the signature shoe of the Bloods, like the gang, the Bloods in America, is the Air Max 95s. And the Air Max 98s are the chosen shoe of the Crips. So if you are walking with Air Max 95s in Crips territory, you'd potentially get beaten up. At worst, you'd get killed. That's mental. That is actually mental. And like, you know, I've heard the bar time and time again. Like, Emma got killed for his sneakers. Emma got killed for his trainers. Like, you hear it all the time. And I've never really been able to align myself the meaning behind it. You just think, oh, it's low-end, low-income support type things, that it's like things are so tough that you'll kill someone for their trainers. But it isn't that. It was this. And now it makes sense. I'm not going to shoot it down, but coming from the UK, our UK garms are sick. The UK grime scene has developed its own look, its own image, its own sort of swag. And you know, some of these youngins that I help coach at football, I can't lie, their outfits do look hard. Like, they look like little G's, they look like gangsters, whatever. But thank God we ain't got that kind of shit in the UK, that there's a certain type of trainer affiliated with a certain part of London. Like, if you're from West, you wear 95s. If you're from East, you wear this. And if you're seen wearing the wrong type of trainer in the wrong area, that could potentially get you stabbed or killed. I think it's mental. I understand that this is a cultural thing, and that's why I'm not going to take shots. But coming from abroad, like looking at it from the outside, it's bonkers that that thing's sort of in place. And it's really sad. It's sad that, you know, you could lose your life and create an incredible amount of trauma for that person's family and anyone that he cares about, just because you're wearing a certain type of trainer. Can't we just let people look good? Can we not just let people look good? Oh my God, imagine you had a pair of Air Max 98s and you just looked so lit with them, but you couldn't because you knew you were part of the other gang. Oh man, that could be some, like, you could do a play on that kind of stuff. That's a mad story. From the beginning to the end, losers lose, winners win. This is real, we ain't got to pretend. The cold world that we in is full of pressure and pain. Enough of me, N-word, now listen to game.
From the beginning to the end, losers lose, winners win. This is real, we ain't got to pretend. The cold world that we in is full of pressure and pain. Enough of me, nigga, now listen to game.
Right, I'm going to take what I'm saying about these lines straight off Rap Genius, but then I'm going to ad-lib afterwards. This world of ours is cold because for someone to win, others have to lose. Not everybody can win. Our society glorifies winners and shits on losers. This puts tremendous pressure on people to succeed, and the losers feel the sharp pain of failure. It's interesting because it's true coming from where 50's coming from. When you have no choice, that in order to survive, you have to win, because a loss might mean going hungry. A loss might mean your life. Alas might mean in your street cred, which he had to develop and gain in order to make it as far as he did in his rap game and his rap career in life. However, if you're from a middle class or upper class type family, convention says that you're meant to lose a lot. They say fail, 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 but learn. Fail fast and learn. Fail fast and learn. And I find it such an interesting, this song's got so many interesting polar opinions, because it's almost like, yeah, in order to get meaning out of this song, you have to see it from the other side as well. And it's interesting because this is real. We ain't got to pretend. 50's like, I don't need to pretend with you lot. This is how it is for him. And he's gone through his whole life like this. There's not one thing that, when he got shut down for making his Power series, he just went and figured out another way. I think there was all sorts of beef with one of the production companies. I can't remember what. I don't want to butcher it because I just don't know it that well. But he just went, right, cool. I'm just going to do this through Netflix. He's never, ever changed this sight on life. This sight on life, losers lose, winners win. He's like, I will always win. I will never stop until I win. His feud with Diddy, again, he does not stop. And he plays the game so well. He plays the game. I don't know anyone who plays the Power game better than 50. He bides his time. The whole Diddy thing went on and on and on and on. And I think he just waits because he's so self-assured that he has played all his positions correctly. And now that whole thing that happened with Diddy, I don't know if I should bring it up, but, you know, shit went down with him. And, you know, 50's just sort of, you don't know whether he's genuinely being supportive or if he's being like subliminal with his support, but it's a power move nonetheless. He just always wins. I can't help but feel like that is the honest truth with 50. He always wins. And then another thing that I wanted to say, because obviously they don't get along. They fell apart a long time ago between 50 and the game. But at the time, at the moment of this track, whenever he laid those bars down, I think it's a big thing. I think it's a big thing for 50s to say, enough of me, now listen to game. I think the respect was huge then. I think there was a lot of deep conversations had. And, I will never be able to figure out the ins and outs of it, or I haven't had enough time and I'm not really that bothered in order to figure out exactly what went down. But for 50 to say that at the time, he must have thought a lot of the game. He must have thought a lot of the game. Now, whatever transpired for that thought to get completely diminished is what it is. But I tend to lean towards 50 on this one simply because I feel like he has been a very consistent individual with those above him and those behind him and those around him. There's a reason why he backs Eminem to the fullest, because I think Eminem has always been a consistent character in 50's life. And I think with 50, he respects consistency. The moment you show an inconsistent or a chink that says, hey, are you potentially either a threat to me or are you not genuine with me? I think 50 just has no time for it and he cuts it. But a big thing for 50 to say, enough of me, listen to game. Park is gone and Bread is still throwing babies in the garbage. I want to know what's going on, like I hear Marvin. No school books, they use that wood to build coffins. Whenever I'm in the booth and I get exhausted, I think, what if Mary Baker got that abortion? I love you, Ma.
Pockets going and Brenda still throwing babies in the garbage. I want to know what's going on, like I hear Marvin. No school books, they use that wood to build coffins. Whenever I'm in the booth and I get exhausted, I think, what if Marie Baker got that abortion? I love you, Ma.
Bars here. Bars, like, you know, respect being shown to Park about his track Brenda Got a Baby. Do I do Park Brenda's Got a Baby next week? And rather than break these bars down, do I do it? Ooh. Park this. See what I did there? Park this. Jeez. 2024. Starting off with an absolute bang. I want to know what's going on, like I hear Marvin. So, you know, the song by Marvin Gaye, What's Going On, which discusses things like drug addiction, poverty, the Vietnam War. What Game's trying to get at is, it's crazy what I had to go through, but now that I've got it and I'm living the luxurious things of life, it's still really confusing as fuck to see the kind of shit that I'm seeing. I'm seeing, like, you know, the kind of poverty that I'm seeing, the kind of homelessness issue that I heard LA has. And I have witnessed it firsthand, and I mean, it's fucked. It's crazy. I've said it a million times on this podcast. 76 million people out there still drink dirty water. That's fucked. And it is fucked. And yeah, I've like mentioned that, I had a shit year last year. But it's things like that. It's knowing things like 76 million people don't have clean water to drink is what stopped me from having a psychological breakdown. It's what stopped me from not having a meltdown, because people have always got it rough. And if you can be empathetic towards people that have got it worse than you, then you've always got an opportunity to get yourself on the right side of the light. And that's why I do Bars, Rhymes, and Life. You know, I want to shed light on my life. And if by proxy I end up shedding a little bit of light on your lives, even amazing for that too. Whenever I'm in the booth and I get exhausted, I think, what if Mary Baker had that abortion? I love you, Ma. Wow. I just think about how difficult a decision like that is to make. That, you know, you find yourself pregnant and you're unsure about whether you've got the means to look after the new life that you're going to bring in into this world. And you kind of think, what do I do? Like, you know, obviously there's loads of hormonal and, you know, sociological impacts and psychological impacts to all of those things as well. But it's, you know, you kind of go to yourself, wow, thank fuck, I don't have to be in that position. I'm not envious of anyone being in that position. You know, respect to anyone who makes whatever decision that they make. But you can see our game is extremely grateful here. Extremely grateful. And he says if ever he gets exhausted, or if ever he's like on his last breath and he's at a point of just wanting to give up, he thinks about that moment that his mum could have called it quits on him, and he might have never ever existed. And this tune might have not ever existed. And so you understand the concept of this chorus. And it's just an amazing track. It's just an amazing track. And it is my track of 2024. Hate it or love it. Whether you hate it or love it, it is my track of 2024. And I'll end on Hate It or Love It, The Underdog's on Top. And I'm going to shine, homie, until my heart stop. Go ahead, envy me. I'm Rap's MVP. And I ain't going nowhere, so you can get to know me.
And I'm going to shine, homie, until my heart stop. Go ahead, envy me. I'm Raps MVP, and I ain't going nowhere, so you can get to know me.
2024 people, anyone that is listening, I really hope you've got your personal, your professional goals ahead of you aligned. I hope you're focusing on them. I hope you've got them written down somewhere. I hope you are ready. Fake Semba's over. Fake Semba is over. As of tomorrow, 2024 begins, and it's going to be our year. I really, really hope that anyone that's listening to this, I'm wishing you an incredible, incredible 2024, and let's go get it. Let's go get it. Let's go and take this year by the scruff of the neck and let's go in. Nothing but love to 50 Cent and all of his fans. Nothing but love to the game and all of his fans. Nothing but massive, massive, massive love to all the BRL listeners out there. One.
And I'm gonna shine, homie, until my heart stop. Go ahead, envy me. I'm Raps MVP, and I ain't going nowhere, so you can get to know me.